WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Introducing The Great American Novel is a new collection of critical essays, but book critic John Leonard says the collection is not so great.
Here's a nice idea that just sits there wondering what to do with itself. Lots of famous writers have written about lots of other famous writers. Why not put some of them between covers and see if anybody buys it? There's a neat essay by Tom Wolfe on Norman Mailer's An American Dream, the only debunking in the book, and a fine job by David Bradley on Growing Up and Away from Richard Wright and Native Son, and the article by Robert Brustein in The New Republic that single-handedly saved Joe Heller's Catch-22 from the remainder bins and the pulpers. There are also occasional and surprising graces. H.L. Mencken on Theodore Dreiser, for instance, tells us that his method of work was not unlike that of a man in a dream, even something like that of a spiritualist calling off the messages of Wawa the Indian chief. Irving Howe points out that Edith Wharton had no vocabulary for happiness. Rebecca West listens to Sinclair Lewis talk in Babbitt, and what she hears is bonehead Walt Whitman speaking. Alfred Kazin persuades us that in Moby Dick, Melville sometimes makes you feel that he knows, as a writer, what it is like to be the eyes of the rock, the magnitude of the whale, the scalding sea, the dreams that lie buried in the Pacific. Anthony Burgess is a waste of time on Uncle Tom's Cabin, Saul Bellow rather misses the point of Ralph Ellison, and Henry James is writing more about himself than he is about Hawthorne. On Carson McCullers, Tennessee Williams is preposterous. Quote, "Such intensity and nobility of spirit as we have not had in our prose writing since Herman Melville." But not quite as preposterous as Jean-Paul Sartre, who calls John Dos Passos the greatest writer of our time. Well, what made Edmund Wilson's The Shock of Recognition so wonderful was that it consisted of contemporaries discovering contemporaries. It was criticism written in blood, on bandages, from the front, in the forging of our national literature. Introducing The Great American Novel has no such scheme. Critics and novelists are occasionally contemporaries, but more often not, for no good reason. And what makes individual critics like Kazin and Trilling and Howe and Sheed so exciting to read in collections of their own essays is that we can measure their enthusiasms for one writer against another and arrive at a gauge of their taste. But here they're marooned, not talking to themselves or each other, just hanging around without a context. Why only one female critic? Why not Susan Sontag, Mary McCarthy, Elizabeth Hardwick, Joan Didion? And why not, if you're looking abroad, include any of the brilliant essays on our literature by Graham Greene, Octavio Paz, Camus, or Borges? Where are John Updike, William Gass, Kenneth Rexroth, Leslie Fiedler? There is no why or wherefore to introducing The Great American Novel. There is merely gimmick.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed Introducing the Great American Novel, edited by Anne Skillian.